Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
New U.S. sanctions on Iran took effect today, 6 months after President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the international nuclear deal.
The sanctions target Iran's shipping, financial, and energy sectors, all key to the country's already struggling economy.
The bombs, which the FBI referred to as improvised explosive devices, were sent to the FBI's bomb laboratory in Quantico, Virginia.
We're in Mexico again tonight as thousands of migrants try to find a faster way to the U.S. border. The White House says it's now getting help from the Mexican
Making news out of Pittsburgh. The man accused in the shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh is pleading not guilty, and he also wants a jury trial. You can see he's facing a 44 count.
In the final seconds before the Boeing 737 MAX crashed into the water, it was traveling at more than 500 kilometers an hour. All 189 people on board were killed.
You've now entered the House of Mystery.
Crime, conspiracy, history, and science.
With your hosts, Al Warren, Mike Brown,
Julie Sav, Michael Butterfield,
Dr. Joseph Usinski, and Michael Hawley.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Okay, we are back in the House of Mystery. It's the new year. It's 2021. And what can I say? I'm Al Warren. And today we are going to talk Zodiac. And we have our regular specialist, Michael Butterfield. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Al. How are you?
I'm wonderful because I'm across the border.
Yes, you're having a real happy new year.
Well, a relaxed one. Not much is going on. Up here, a lot of people were mad because our government decided to call off alcohol sales as of 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve and say no more after 8. And some people were upset. It seemed like more businesses than like bars than anybody, but they were a little upset about it. But we had like 85 deaths or something. And if you're not watching American news, that sounds really like, holy cow.
I know it's terrible that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah. And I know that it's totally out of proportion, the U.S., because the amount of deaths you're having down there, it should be 10 times, let's say, 10 times the population, 10 times the deaths. And it's not even... I don't know what. It's not even close.
So well, we had 111 deaths reported in Arizona today, I think, and 10,000 new cases reported today. And they say that a lot of the cases are not being reported because people are asymptomatic and they're not getting tested. So, and they're saying that new strain is here, that new mutant strain that's more contagious. So happy new year.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of why we closed down too. And then the airports are requiring a test now. You have to have a test within 72 hours if you fly in. So
it sounds to me though that if you're complaining about not being able to get alcohol after 8 p.m., that you're just a poor planner.
I'm. That's why we kind of went over without too much of a a big deal. I'm kind of surprised that people were upset, you know. I mean, just go to the liquor store.
Yeah.
How hard can it be, right?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people like to go out to a place like a bar and get drunk, or a club.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, you know,
they had a lot of people on the news here last night, you know, showing celebrations all over the country. And a lot of the people were saying they weren't coming out so much to celebrate the new year as to kiss goodbye the old one, which I can understand.
Well, I can, but you know, there is a line. I mean, it doesn't just change overnight because we call it 2021.
Oh yeah, I know. Nothing's changed at all.
It's all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Just runs on and on and on.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And now, did they pass that $600 for people, or 2000, or what's going on?
Well, the 600 was, it was passed by the House and the Senate, and I believe Trump actually signed it. But then they were trying to get the $2,000 payment, a separate vote on that, and because that's what Trump and the Democrats wanted. But then Mitch McConnell, the House Majority Leader, decided that he wasn't going to allow a vote on that. And then Bernie Sanders tried to filibuster about that to prevent the passage of the defense bill, I think. And it just went on and on. Nothing's been done, of course, as always. So.
But this is just a one-time payment for people.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It's because they gave people $1,200, 8 months ago, and decided that should have kept you through all that time. And now they think $600 is going to cover it. So,
Did you know that in Canada, since April, everybody's been getting $2,000 a month?
Mm-hmm.
And then they renewed it in September and made it 1,800, like 900 every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's everybody that had a job cut back, that's just everybody that needed it.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, because that makes sense.
But there's no, so I'm sort of not sure why $2,000 is a one-time payment is such a big deal when we do that every month.
Well, people like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and others have said that they're concerned that people who don't need that money will get it. So, they're really concerned about people.
There's going to be some. It's just sort of you kind of roll with it. You kind of know that, just like when you have unemployment insurance and you have welfare and you have food stamps, all that stuff. There's going to be scabbers. Yeah. There's going to be people that get what they don't deserve. That's just part of it. You just kind of go, just like when you have a store, a department store, you count in a certain percentage of being ripped off, shoplifters, right? You just kind of incorporate it all because you know you're going to get a certain amount. It just happens.
It's what they call shrinkage.
Yeah. And we know what's going to happen, but why punish the majority of people for just a few scammers? It makes no sense. Especially, it's just a one-time payment. It's like they're making a big deal as if they're going to be doing this forever.
It would only help people in the short term. It wouldn't do anything in the long term. But you know, the Republicans in the United States are not known for their desire to help people.
Yeah. Well, they've certainly got that reputation now. And everywhere you go, it's kind of, you know, it's funny because even the Canadian conservatives have distanced themselves from the Republican Party. You know, it's almost like, no, you know, they wear masks. They just, it's just sort of a totally different, I don't know, it's weird. It's almost like there's a new strain of conservatism that they can't figure out, because it's sure angry. But
well, they're like I said, that's the snake is eating itself now. And there are a lot of people, you know, factions breaking off, people who are, you know, want to challenge the election, people who don't, and people who want to help others, people who don't. And now the Republican Party is pretty fractured, and it looks like there might even be some sort of schism in the party before 2024. But, you know, in the long run, nothing that they're doing is actually helping anyone. They haven't done anything to help people for months and months and months. And
well, there really should be an extreme right party, because even we have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we have a socialist
balance
party. We have a real extreme fundamentalist party, then we have a conservative, and then we have a liberal. Like, it's sort of, they're all there, and they just need to be placed together, and then you know what the real balance of people and population is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if they get 10% of the vote or 15%, you know, that's how many nuts you have, right? You know, it's not so, because just to have them all in one party doesn't make sense.
Well, that's why it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Georgia in a couple of days with the runoff election there.
Yeah.
You know, voter turnout's been really high, and people have high hopes about it, but we'll have to wait and see. After 2020, I think a lot of people are just totally unwilling to get their hopes up about anything.
Shell-shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
well, it's true.
Oh, and what's this in the Tennessee? What did that guy blow up his camper for? Has anybody figured that one out?
You know, I don't think I've actually seen anything reporting any specific motive or political leaning or anything, except I did hear something about him having issues with law enforcement, and that apparently last year in 2019, his girlfriend reported him to police and said that he was building a bomb in his RV. And,
wow.
In his camper.
But they didn't bother, did they? They didn't.
I didn't see anything about any follow-up. I mean, I imagine they might get, you know, various calls about crazy people over a period of months. But, you know, it's just like, you remember the shooting in Las Vegas that happened where
right. They
never really figured out what was going on with that guy. And we may never know.
Well, I heard it was Antifa.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You know, Hillary, I thought she had a cell phone and she called the guy and gave him a code word and that he was.
Well, there's all kinds of theories, but that doesn't mean any of them are right.
No, so, yeah. That's funny. Well, speaking of theories. So now, coincidence, at the time that the new interviews book, the House of Mystery interview book, which you've co-helped or write on that book now, so you're on there, that's come out. So what? At the same time, the ciphers have been solved for two more. So let's get into it this way. So how did this all happen? So this is David Oranchek, right?
David Oranchek of ZodiacKillerCiphers.com. Yeah, he, I met him several years ago online, and then we actually met in person in San Francisco a few years ago when we were filming the show Very Scary People for HLN.
Oh, yeah.
We had breakfast and then we had lunch and we got to chat quite a bit. And that was the first time I'd ever heard anybody talk about the Zodiac ciphers in a way that actually made sense and was compelling and interesting. You know, most of the time it kind of sounds just like a lot of garbled nonsense or it's somebody who doesn't, you know, they're not really that intelligent about it, and they can't really break things down in a way that's understandable for other people. And so the first time I met him in person and we were chatting about this, I realized very quickly there's something different about him. And I sort of latched on to him because like a lot of people who have websites, I get a lot of messages from people who claim to have solved these Zodiac ciphers. And I can't, you know, determine whether or not some of them are valid or not. It's very complicated. So I depended on David to help me. And, you know, he was great about that over the years. And so he had been working with some other people, and obviously they computer programmers bring a different sort of set of skills to this than your amateur code breakers. They were trying to find variations in the Zodiac ciphers. For your listeners, the Zodiac had sent four ciphers over the course of his reign of terror. And the first one was solved right away. But then the second, third, and fourth ciphers had remained unsolved for all of these years, including what was called the Zodiac 340 cipher, which was a symbol that a cipher that consisted of 340 symbols in a block form of lines of 17 characters. And a lot of people had speculated that the cipher might just be garbage, you know, that it wasn't a real cipher. It was just designed to keep people busy, or that including this was my theory, that the Zodiac was kind of upset that the first cipher was solved so quickly. So then he decided to make the second cipher more difficult to solve, and he just went too far. He made it too difficult, and it was not solved for 51 years. But David Aranchak, here in the United States, was working with two guys, Jarl van Eycke in Flanders, Belgium, and Sam Blake in Melbourne, Australia. And they were using computer programs, especially a program that, or software that was designed specifically to attack the Zodiac ciphers. And this might sound complicated, but bear with me for a moment. Sam was looking for variations in the cipher text, anything that could help them identify patterns or any information about the construction of the cipher. And he submitted to David Aranchak approximately 650,000 cipher variations that they needed to check. And of course, you can imagine years ago, this would require actual human beings doing it, but now they can get some of the computers to help out. And they were sorting through these variations when they came across one that provided some interesting information that helped them figure out how the cipher was constructed. And years ago on a TV show called Mystery Quest, Dan Olson from the FBI had theorized that the cipher was actually meant to be broken into two different parts. And it turns out that he was almost right. David and Sam and Jarl discovered that the cipher was actually broken into three parts. And it was only the first two parts that contained the actual message. And I think a lot of people were unable to solve the cipher because they were looking at it like the first cipher, which was a similar block of symbols, but read, when deciphered, it read as just plain text from left to right, the way we all read normally. But the 340 turns out to have been constructed in a much more complicated fashion, and that was that it was separated into three parts. The first two parts contained the actual message, but the message ran diagonally through the ciphertext or through the symbols. So the message would read from left to right, but diagonally. And then when it would end on the right, it would pick up again on the left side. So the average person would never be able to solve that cipher trying to attack it the way they solved the first cipher. So it's a very complicated process, but they managed to do this in 3 days. You know, they, David said that they got this first glimmer of hope on a Thursday, and by Saturday morning, they were submitting their solution to the FBI. And I think these guys deserve a tremendous amount of credit for this accomplishment, but I also think they deserve some credit for the way they handled it. Over the years, I've received a lot of messages from people who claim that they've solved the ciphers, and they're often concerned about publicity, money. They want people to sign non-disclosure agreements and things like that, you know. Yeah. But to his credit, Saturday morning, which was my day off, my day to sleep in, I got a text from Dave saying that they had thought they had solved it and they were submitting it to the FBI. And he immediately shared the solution with us. And I have to say, you know, I was sleeping. So I heard that thing go off and I looked at it and I'm like, oh, it's a message from, you know. And then I was like, whoa, wait, what a minute? What is this? Is this really real? And after talking with him, he shared the solution. And I have to say that it immediately stood out as being valid. Often when you see people with these proposed solutions, it sounds like somebody trying to sound like the Zodiac. Doesn't really sound like the Zodiac. But this cipher solution, when I read it, it immediately stood out as being valid. So they had submitted it to the FBI. Very quickly, the FBI confirmed it. But then the Bureau wanted to, you know, go through all the motions that they're supposed to do, the notifying victims' families and letting them know about developments in the case and making sure there wasn't anything in the cipher that was that shouldn't be released to the public. You know, there was always the possibility that the cipher could contain reference to unknown crimes or victims or things like that. So they had to make sure they covered all those ends. And then it was about 6 days later when the solution was finally made public. And David Aranchak, Jarl van Eicke, and Sam Blake, their names went viral overnight. You know,
yeah.
That story was just all over the news, and they deserve that credit because it's a truly amazing accomplishment.
Well, so I just wonder, but so all of these people that have, you know, done claims before, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, especially, you know, you see where it says Earl Van Best Jr. And yeah. or it says like, you know, Steve O'Dell's dad's in it or something. Remember, he had that Barwood out of England do it. And that guy's just, you know, crazy anyway. Well, you know, he just, you know, he's the Jodi Arias is innocent project. Right? Yeah. I mean, so it's kind of like, okay.
That takes a special brand of
Echo. Yeah. I mean, you know, the last thing I'm going to do is rely on something from him. Yeah. But all of these people, so when they work out these ciphers in their point of view and their way of doing it. So how do you tell them that what they've done isn't real or isn't right? Like how does what's the difference?
Well, you know, I think one of the issues involved here is you have to have a good understanding of how ciphers work to tell the difference. And I think that I've been very fortunate to have David Aranchak sort of educate me to the point where I can be more discerning about that. But the simple fact is there really is no way to tell people that they're wrong, at least not any way that they like to hear. I think that with the solution that these guys found, it's self-evident. It's self-confirming. The methods that are used to decipher it are, they seem really complicated, but in the end, they're actually fairly simple. That didn't require a lot of steps. It didn't require a lot of fudging of things or changing the rules all of a sudden just to keep your solution going and things like that. But when you're talking about, you know, people like Gary Stewart and others who have put their solutions forward, they are often strained or, you know, they seem rather weak in their solutions, or the methods that they use to decipher that text turns out to be incredibly convoluted and requires all kinds of adjustments and changes in the rules and things like that that just aren't compatible with an actual solution. So there are a lot of people who have claimed to have solved the case and have claimed to solve the ciphers as well, and implicated a suspect. They claim that their suspect's name is in the cipher, or some allusion to their suspect or a crime that he committed or something like that. But there's never been anything that stands out as being credible. Even Robert Graysmith, who wrote the book Zodiac that the movie was based on, he had claimed that he had solved the cipher, and his solution just read like nonsense. Yeah. Even the FBI concluded that it was nonsense. But they still believe that they were right. And there's really no way to deter them, especially when so much of their theory is based on these conclusions or these so-called solutions. So if you took those away from them, they would have nothing. And I think it's very telling that when you look at the new solution, it flows in a way that sounds like the Zodiac. It sounds like basically it's a bad sequel to the Zodiac's first cipher and the deciphered text found there about, you know, killing people so they would be slaves in his afterlife and things like that. The other solutions sound like somebody cobbling together what the FBI referred to, I think, as bad poetry. Yeah. And it never sounds like it's legitimate. So some of these people are probably going to cling to the idea that they solved the cipher, and they're not going to accept the new solution. I've seen quite a bit of that on Facebook and Twitter, people who are just mocking the new solution because they know better. And then when you look at their solution, it's obvious that they're wrong.
Yeah, but, you know, so the FBI certifying or sort of saying, yeah, this is it. They haven't done that with anybody else's.
No, no. They have studiously avoided any endorsement of any Cypher solution over the years, and that's because none of those solutions were valid. You know, a person, you already know this, Al, but a person who has a theory, you know, that's what they're concerned about, is enhancing their theory, finding things that confirm their theory. The FBI is only concerned with finding the right solution. So, excuse me, they have been working on this cipher for years, and they always examine someone's proposed solution if it's submitted to the FBI, but they've never endorsed one before. And they were very careful in how they handled this new development. You know, they're not going to come out and get sucked into a big discussion about all of this. They basically just submitted a statement, which I posted in my article, Breaking the Story, that, you know, the cipher was recently solved by a team of three private citizens. That was basically it. They said the Zodiac Killer case remains an ongoing investigation for the FBI San Francisco division and our local law enforcement partners. The Zodiac Killer terrorized multiple communities across Northern California, and even though decades have gone by, we continue to seek justice for the victims of these brutal crimes. Due to the ongoing nature of the investigation and out of respect for the victims and their families, we will not be providing further comment at this time. So that's pretty straightforward. It was solved. There's nothing to discuss.
But what will the opposing people, you know, the ones that are on social media saying, oh, this isn't right, mine's right, or whatever. So what do they say about the FBI? Or is it just the old, well, the FBI's in on it, or what?
Well, it's partially that. There's also stories that theories that the FBI just wants to get it over with, so they're going along with it. There's obviously, yes, there's conspiracy going on to, you know, protect my suspect. They don't want to admit that they were wrong, which is all nonsense. But then there's also just the standard, well, you trust the FBI, you know, like that kind of thing. And, yeah. You know, I think it's very telling that Dan Olson had come up with a theory years ago about how the cipher might be solved. And then last year, David Aranchak was on my podcast, the Zodiac A to Z podcast, and it was episode number 8, about 15 minutes in. He basically describes how the Zodiac cipher was constructed and how it would be solved, because they actually have a coherent strategy and a point of view and way of looking at this. The other people, when they propose their solutions, it's basically like, here's my solution. And when you read it, it's just garbage. And then you try to point that out to them and they refuse to accept it. And the reason I think, and David commented on this too, is that, you know, when you're trying to decipher something like this, you may start to see what you think is a message unfolding. And it might make sense up at the top of the cipher, but then once you're applying the same substitution below, you'll start to see that there are places where letter combinations are forming that cannot possibly be English words. And that's the time when you're supposed to start over. But most people refuse to do that, so they start tweaking the rules to make the rest of the solution fit with whatever they think they found at the beginning. And that's their downfall. That's when.
Well, isn't there like a key to something like this? Like a, you know, there's an actual key that you apply to the cipher that breaks it or opens it up so you can see it in English?
Yeah. And normally with a regular cipher, you know, you can just substitute this letter for that symbol and it starts to form a message if you have the right key. But with this cipher, it was a little more complicated in the sense that it was structured diagonally. So if you were looking for a word to form from left to right, which is how most.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
People would look at it. They wouldn't notice the patterns that were developing diagonally unless they had enough, had filled in enough of the cipher block to see that pattern playing out. If you're just reading left to right, it's going to be really hard. And so the Zodiac had followed a process. At least it seems like the Zodiac had followed a process, which was slightly more complicated than that. And I've heard it on one of the Zodiac forums where they were discussing this. Someone had laid out this theory that the way it worked was the Zodiac wrote out a message, and it may have had some misspellings in the original message. And then he broke it into three parts or blocks. And then he transposed the first block according to some scheme he had created. And then he transposed the second block with the same scheme, but he made a mistake there. And this was one of the things that happened with this trio of computer programmers, is they had discovered this mistake, and that mistake allowed them to continue the deciphering process, where a lot of people, that mistake might have thrown everything off. And then the killer left the last block untransposed. It was just the symbols. He put the whole thing back into a block of a column, and then he created a homophonic substitution cipher from that, where he started substituting the letters for with symbols. So it's very complicated, but if you look at this process, it's actually fewer steps and not as convoluted as some of the suggestions that we've had over the years.
So what about the fourth one? So no, this didn't work on the fourth one.
Well, this was the second cipher. So there's a third and a fourth, and those two remain unsolved. The reason that they wouldn't work is there's probably several reasons why that solution wouldn't work. People had tried the key from the first cipher on the second one, and it didn't work. And now we can kind of understand why, because it was just constructed in a different way. But the third and fourth ciphers are much shorter. And the shorter a cipher is, the harder it is to solve, because it's harder to locate patterns and identify patterns that would help you figure out, well, this letter is the most, you know, this letter is repeated the most in the text, so it's probably the letter E, which is the most repeated letter in English text. So when you have a shorter cipher, you have a smaller sampling, and it's harder to find any patterns in that. The two remaining ciphers, one is referred to as the Mount Diablo code, which was a 32-character cipher that was submitted with a map and some instructions. which remains unsolved. And then the other cipher is 13 characters long, and it was accompanied with the promise that it started off, "My name is," and then there was this cipher. But 13 characters is not a lot. It's very difficult to find any pattern or anything in that. And it's unlikely that the Zodiac would use the same sort of key on a different kind of cipher like that. So yeah, those other two remain unsolved. And I'm not sure that they ever will be solved. But to be honest with you, I don't think most people thought the 340 cipher would be solved. I think many people thought that the case itself might be solved before that cipher was ever solved. But these guys did it 51 years later.
So that fourth one you said, the 13-digit one, is that the one that people are trying – they're always trying to guess the name. They're always saying, well, this name
– oh, yeah.
– is what it spells and all yeah. that. Is that – and that's the one I think I was getting. Remember the last series of emails from, what, Glenn Wall – about all that stuff. And I think he was saying, of course, his choice of killer is fits that one.
Yeah. Well, it's very easy because it says "my name is," and then people can say, well, any name that's 13 characters long can fit in this. And so you can take something and use the shortened versions of someone's name. Instead of Michael, you could use Mike, or their middle initial and then their last name, or their full first name and no middle initial and their last name. You know, it's very easy for people to find what they think is a solution there, but none of them are valid. And I think it's important to remember, you know, most of the people who are claiming that they've solved that cipher, they don't have any other evidence to back up their claims against their suspects. So they're really dependent on that cipher. And when you look at how they claim to have solved it, it usually doesn't hold up.
Yeah. I don't know how you could, because anybody can really put together any 13 letters really to fit that, you know, it's just not enough. It doesn't make sense to me. so, well, you know, and in the cipher that was solved here, what was it trying to say? Like, what information do you think it gave us?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been disappointed that the cipher does not include the killer's name or any information which could possibly lead to his identity. And I understand that. That's what a lot of people wanted. That's what would help us out. But once again, the Zodiac wasn't willing to be helpful. In his first cipher, he talked about how he loved killing people because it was so much fun. It was better than having sex with a woman, that because man was the most dangerous animal of all, and to kill something had given him the most thrilling experience, and that his victims would be his slaves in his afterlife. This new solution is, like I said, it's sort of a bad sequel. I'll read you this solution here, but it says, "I hope you are having lots of fun and trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show," which brings up a point about me. "I am not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner. Because I now have enough slaves to work for me, where everyone else has nothing when they reach paradise, so they are afraid of death. I am not afraid because I know that my new life will be an easy one in paradise death." So, you know, it's just him rambling about his fantasies. There's nothing there that's, at least it doesn't seem like there's anything there that will help solve the case. But it brings up an interesting angle on all of this. In the cipher, he says, "That wasn't me on the TV show." And this cipher was sent in November 1969. But in October of 1969, someone had called into a local Bay Area talk show with lawyer Melvin Belli and host Jim Dunbar and claimed to be the Zodiac. This person used the name Sam and complained that he had headaches and threatened to kill children, and Belli was trying to get him to turn himself in, and the caller expressed some concerns about being hurt, and Belli tried to assure him that he would not face the gas chamber, that he would help him avoid the death penalty. And so this deciphered text appears to confirm what many of us already knew, which was that police had determined that the person who made those phone calls was not the Zodiac killer. They had traced subsequent calls to Belli's home, to a mental hospital, and a patient there who they had determined was not the Zodiac. But over the years, this myth has sprung up about it, that it was the Zodiac, or that the Zodiac was calling Belli's house, and that maybe there were two different people calling, an imposter and the real Zodiac, and all of these things. And then the 2007 movie Zodiac sort of helped add to the confusion about that. And so it's interesting that just a couple of weeks after that TV show aired, the Zodiac sent this cipher where he's saying, that wasn't me. I wasn't the person calling into that show. But nobody deciphered this for 51 years. So we didn't find out about it until 51 years had passed and this myth had sort of exploded. And the reference to the gas chamber seems pretty clear, that what he's saying is, it's not me on that show, and I'm not afraid of the gas chamber the way that person was. But again, you know, it's possible it could have been him on the show and he's denying it and everything, but none of those scenarios really are in keeping with the known facts. So it indicates that, once again, the cipher text is self-affirming. It's, you know, what are the odds that somebody could come up with a deciphering technique that would actually form a coherent English message, and then on top of it, actually conform to the Zodiac's personality, the statements that he had previously made, and these issues surrounding this imposter. So it's doesn't reveal anything. It doesn't reveal his name. But again, he had said in his previous cipher, I won't give you my name because you'll try to stop or slow down my collecting of slaves.
You know, maybe it was Belli.
Well, he's been accused of a lot of things over the years. So,
well, you know what? So I've heard a lot of different things about this. So, especially lately when putting together the book. So what do you think the slave idea and not afraid of death and going over? So what was the point of that? Like, was he trying to say he's some sort of religion?
It's been interpreted that way. There are some religions that have, you know, I guess some beliefs about slaves in the afterlife or people serving others eternally. I'm not sure that we know whether or not he's sincere about this. It's perfectly possible that the Zodiac was just trying to, you know, misdirect people, make them think that he was like this when he really wasn't. But it's also possible that he did believe these things. We know that this was an important theme to him. He returned to it several times. You know, the first time was in the first cipher, then in this cipher, and in letters, and on a card he had written the words paradise and slaves to form a cross. And so we know that this had some importance to him. It could indicate that he may have been out of touch with reality, instead of the cold, calculated person that people think of. It could indicate that he had a really rich fantasy life. If he didn't believe this, then all of his ramblings are probably misdirection, trying to keep everybody believing that he's insane and looking for someone who fits that profile. But it doesn't explain the repeated references, and whether there was some sort of meaning to it that was important to him. You know, if he was sincere and he really did this because he thought people were going to serve him in eternity, that raises some questions about him.
You know, so what do you think? So are they going to go on to try to solve the other two ciphers? Well, I guess the 13-letter one's going to be hard, or 13-digit one, or whatever you want to call it. But are they going to go further now? Or,
well, I think they probably have to. they've developed quite a reputation now. You know, they were already trying to solve those ciphers, and I don't think they're going to give up. If anything, this may give them more insight into how the killer's mind worked when he was constructing ciphers, because, again, you know, they solved it using something that had not been tried before from a different point of view, a different angle. And I think they're going to continue. I had already jokingly harassed Dave Aranchak saying, you know, you solved the cipher in 3 days, and it's been like 3 weeks since then. So you could have solved 7 ciphers by now. Just you weren't so lazy, you know?
Yeah, get to work.
But yeah, but I think they'll definitely keep trying. And, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it here. I am surprised that the 340 cipher was solved. I am not surprised that it was solved by David Aranchak and others. So if anybody can solve those other ciphers, I would put my money on these three guys because they have a really good track record. They pulled off something that nobody else could do in 51 years. And I think that the fact that they discovered this solution has breathed new life into this and created new hope about the case maybe being solved or us getting some more answers. So, you know, I don't know if I'm giving you the right answer or the answer I want, but the answer I want is that yes, they'll keep trying and hopefully they'll come up with some solutions.
Yeah. Well, you know, why not? They, you know, they've been successful at their try. So yeah. Why not, you know, yeah. See what happens. But I guess the other cipher, it doesn't really have, it wouldn't really have his name either. It's just that last one, right?
Yeah. And, you know, he'd said, I'm not going to give you my name. So it's perfectly possible that my name is Cipher is just a ruse or some, you know, some people think that it says something like, you know, Alfred E. Newman or, you know, listing some other names. I think it was the History Channel who thought that the History Channel show Hunt for the Zodiac Killer. I think the person on there thought that the 340 revealed the name Richard Nixon. And, you know, so it's possible that that has real information in it. I tend to believe that the Zodiac wouldn't provide his identity like he claimed or that he teased. I think it was a way of sort of upsetting people and getting them involved and keeping them busy. But I don't think he would reveal it. If anything, I think it would discover it's just more of his sarcastic sense of humor, you know, sort of gotcha thing. Oh, yeah, you cracked the cipher, but you still don't have me. But then again, the cipher, you know, referring to that TV show and the cipher, he may have tried to make it harder, which is what I believe and what David Aranchak believes, that the Zodiac's first cipher was solved so quickly that when he made the second one, he made it harder to solve. And it took a long time to solve. But it doesn't appear that he thought it would take that long because he was referring to something that happened just a couple of weeks earlier as if people would know the reference. So, you know, it's perfectly possible that those ciphers could be cracked. We just haven't figured out how to do it yet. But I don't think that he's going to be so helpful. I think he's playing games with people. He wants you to think that that name is in that cipher so that you'll work on it, you know. But I don't think that's inside. Now, I would love to be wrong, and I'd love to see somebody find that name.
Well, that brings me to why would he do ciphers in the sense that he's doing... He did some letters, too, which were totally readable. And then he's doing ciphers. But ciphers don't really do anything different than the letters, do they, really? I mean, like the last one you just read was just about a response to, hey, that wasn't me on the show. I'm not scared of dying. Gas chamber. Yeah. Woo-hoo. I got slaves. Big deal. Why wouldn't he just write that in a letter? Like, what is the difference? Like, why do it if there's no secrets being revealed?
Well, I think it's a demonstration of power. You know, he wants to, the first cipher was sent with a letter that said, I want you to print this cipher on your front page. And if you don't do it, I'm going to kill a dozen people. And so it was created quite the incentive to follow his instructions. And I think he enjoyed seeing how powerful he was, how much he could make people do things just because he made threats. And so when the second cipher came, it said, you know, I want you to print this cipher. And by the way, I get awfully lonely when I'm ignored, so lonely that I could do my thing. And I think he wanted to see people reacting to him. That's a demonstration of his power. It makes him feel powerful to see everybody running around trying to solve his cipher. It also adds to his mystique. You know, the idea that he just wrote a letter, that's one thing, but he sent a secret message. And I think he thought it made him seem more, I don't know, intelligent or cerebral or anything like that. But also, David Aranchak's brought this up several times, and I agree with him. a lot of the, you know, detective magazines and detective stories and fiction and things like that from that period of time, Cyphers played a big part of them. And if he had grown up reading that, excuse me, reading that kind of stuff and interested in that kind of stuff, he may have thought of this as just part and parcel of being a notorious killer and creating a mystery.
Yeah, because I was going to say that. So it in the times, it was kind of a more of a common thing, like a game to play Cyphers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it wouldn't really point him out as being something necessarily. Like, he didn't have to be an army cipher guy or anything like that. It was just something people – it's like a crossword puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't indicate any, you know, expertise or anything like that, although he may have had some expertise. It just indicates that he had an interest in it. And as several people have pointed out, the way that he's constructed these ciphers could indicate that he was more of an amateur and that he was someone who was interested in these kinds of things in detective fiction and things, because that's sort of a part and parcel, like I said, of being a supervillain, like the Riddler or the Joker or something, you know. And there's some indication that the Zodiac may have been interested in comic books or villains in film and fiction and things like that. So that he may have been trying to emulate some of these people. And I think that that may prove, if we ever get to talk to the Zodiac and find out, you know, why did you do this? I think you might find that there is an element of that, because there's other things, like when he wrote the cross using the words paradise and slaves, in each quadrant he had written something like by gun, by knife, by rope, that kind of thing. And in the old Tim Holt Western cowboy comics, there was a character, I think her name was Lady Doom, who put him on this wheel of death, that when you spun it, the choices were, you know, death by fire, by gun, or whatever. There's also indications, you know, there's villains named Zodiac in Batman comics years ago, decades ago. There was an episode of the Batman TV show called The Zodiac Crimes. So there's a lot of indication that he may have been influenced by pop culture and fiction and things like that. And if he was, he probably grew up reading a lot of these detective magazines where ciphers played a big part. As David Aranchak pointed out, the American Cryptogram Association, which was formed by people who were fans of this kinds of detective fiction. So it's very possible that that played a big part in Zodiac's imagination and his fantasy world.
I heard Ted Cruz is into that. I'm saying that just for the Reddit fans that always complain at me every time I say that.
You have
that.
To get it, squeeze it in there.
I have to, because I just want them to say, oh, he just is so annoying.
I saw a tweet and it made me think of you, where somebody said that Zodiac's message had been deciphered and it said, donate to tedcruz.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, which I'm not encouraging anybody to do, by the way.
No, I'm just trying to have a little bit of fun. People get so serious about this, you know, that they get violent and they're all freaky. And it's like, well, we're just talking, and it's like, relax.
Well, I heard that he made some sort of comment about it for the first time. That he like made some sort of joke, like, watch what you say, don't you know who I am, or something like that. Or that could have been a rumor that wasn't true, but I thought I saw something like that online.
Oh, it could be, you know.
Sort of finally acknowledging this pop culture.
Finally doing it. It's just all silliness. People need to relax, you know.
Well, but, you know, it can't be Ted Cruz, first of all, because he wasn't alive, but also because everybody knows it was Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, I know. It's just these characters that get accused. It's just crazy. So now the book is out. The update is in. So it's got your, I got that overnight.
Oh, good.
So the new version
of the 340 cipher.
Yeah. So it's all in there. So people can read about the 340 cipher. It's got some of the key interviews that have been done over the last 10 years. Most of these have been done since 2014, so the last 6 years. And I kind of put the extremes because of the most common themes. So, of course, there's Gary Stewart and Thomas Horan and Steve Hodell, all the big names. You know, there's some I've left out, but they were just too far-fetched. I did have put Ray Grant in there only because it carried on his theory of what was that name again? Who did he think it was? You know, he was into...
Well, he thinks it's like more than...
But he accused that guy, you know, that professor, and he sent all the books to Harvard and accused it, you know, that whole thing. But he, you know, just that craziness. But, you know, there's craziness involved in this. So now, now give out your website as well. So people that do want to, they can listen to your podcast and get information.
Well, if you want to read more about the solution to the cipher, I published an article there at zodiackillerfacts.com. And then there's also the podcast version of the article for the Zodiac A to Z podcast, which is available at zodiacatoz.podbean.com, or also available on iTunes and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everywhere you'll hear podcasts. So, and then there's also, if you look at some of the previous episodes of that show with David Aranchak, you can see some of the things, his thoughts over the years about this cipher and how they proved that to be true.
Well, there you go. He was on that one show, wasn't he, on that Solve? Yeah. Wasn't there like a series that he was on?
Yeah, he was on the History Channel series, the Hunt for the Zodiac Killer, and he was part of the cipher team on there that was using that supercomputer. And that show, one of the individuals on that show claimed that he had found a solution, but David was always, had questions or problems with that and didn't think it was the valid solution. And of course, he's now proved them wrong. That's what's great about all this is that, David was on my show just a few days before they solved the cipher, talking about how Robert Graysmith's solution was wrong. And I got some emails from people who were saying, how dare you, you know, that solution is correct or whatever. And literally within days, he cracked it and proved that it was wrong. So that's just an amazing part of all this.
Yeah, I think people need to sit back and they've got to start really looking at hard evidence and just soft evidence, things of thoughts. You know what I mean? Like, there's actual facts. But then they like to put their feelings toward the person, and that becomes their evidence against. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Rather than, and it's
very emotional.
Yeah.
Very emotional.
You can't really solve things that way. You can't just say, well, I don't like this person. I don't like Graysmith, or I don't like Arthur D. Allen. I don't like whoever. So all of a sudden, that becomes evidence. And I think that's wrong. That's the wrong way to do it. We gotta keep our personal feelings out of it if we really want to solve any case.
You have to be able to put your personal biases aside as much as possible and let the facts lead you. Ken Narlow, who was in charge of the investigation in Napa, said to me once, you know, you try to make the, you try to, you look at the facts, and if the facts fits the suspect, that's the suspect that you're going to pursue. If the facts don't fit that suspect, that's not the suspect you should be pursuing. But people just don't understand that, and they get caught up in this idea that once they found some little thing that they think is really important, they can't let go of it. Before we go, I just want to shout out to David Aranchak, Sam Blake, and Jarl von Eicke for doing such a fantastic job of solving this mystery after 51 years. We all owe them a great debt and our thanks.
Yeah, good for them. I'm glad you said the names because I couldn't say that last one. So that's it. And we hope that you pick up the book, go to the website, and listen to the rest of the interviews.
Great.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.